If you have your Bibles with you, you might like to turn to Luke chapter 4, and we're just going to read a couple of verses, a very short little episode in the life of Jesus, and consider what that might mean to us about who Jesus actually is. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 38, and we'll think about the context in just a moment so that we have an understanding of where this fits in. But verse 38 of chapter 4 of Luke's Gospel. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. I don't know whether you've ever noticed how in news stories, it's not the big picture that often grabs our attention. It's actually the small individual stories. So if we think of the awful situation in Syria at the moment, then to hear about the horrors in somewhere like Aleppo and to see the pictures of that, that's one thing. That touches us on one level. But to actually hear about one family's experience seems to make the whole issue come alive to us in a greater way. Touches us perhaps more personally and more deeply. And those individual stories sometimes help us to grasp the overarching big story a little bit better. Now, if you think about the story that we've just read in Luke's Gospel, that is, in a sense, what Luke is doing. Luke's Gospel contains a lot of accounts of Jesus meeting with individuals, especially meeting with individuals in their homes. Luke's Gospel shows us about Jesus meeting people where they are, talking to them, spending time with them, and especially eating with them, as indeed we have on this occasion. And in some ways, Luke is working in the same way as a modern journalist does. He is using these individual encounters with people, ordinary people, people like you and me. He's using these in order to help us grasp the overall picture of what Jesus is actually doing. So if we think about it, the story is actually very simple. It's recorded in three of the Gospels. Jesus goes into the home of Simon. And Simon's mother-in-law is not well. Jesus heals her, and she gets up and she makes tea. And actually, when you think about it, that is the story. So why is it there, and what are we going to get out of this for us today? Well, let's just clear up a few things about what the story is not about. Firstly, it does indeed show that Peter was married, and that therefore celibacy is not demanded by God. Well, that is true, but of course that's not the point of the story. I've heard it used not only to do that, to show that, but also to show women what their right role is, making the tea. And of course, that's not what the story is about either. The story is actually about something much, much more important. And to get to that, we need to explore just a little bit of the context, a little bit of where we are in the life of Jesus. The story for Luke so far of Jesus' ministry has taken place in the desert, and it's taken place in two villages. So in the desert, we have read of him being baptized by John. And he then goes out, led by the Spirit, into that desert to a great extent, and there he is tested by the devil. Returning from there, he goes into the village of Nazareth, which of course is the village where he was brought up. And there in chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, he, reading from the prophet Isaiah, he proclaims his manifesto, if you like, for his ministry. "This is what I am about," he says. But when he speaks in Nazareth, and he says that, he is actually rejected by the people among whom he grew up. So much so that they actually aim to kill him. And so he leaves Nazareth. And he goes to another village. He goes to the second village that Luke introduces us to. He goes to the village of Capernaum. And while he's there, he teaches in the synagogue in exactly the same way as he had done in Nazareth. And in that, he heals a man who is possessed by a demon. Now, on this occasion, the reaction is very different. The reaction in Capernaum is very different from the reaction in Nazareth. Nazareth, he's rejected. But in Capernaum, he isn't. And I think there is something about the reaction of the people in the story just before the one that we have read to Jesus, which helps us understand the importance of this little story as well. On two occasions in the account of his time in the synagogue at Capernaum, the people are recorded as having been amazed by him. Amazed by him. Amazement especially because of the authority that Jesus showed. This man was obviously different, and they could tell. And the amazement in terms of Jesus' authority was in two very specific areas. Firstly, in terms of his teaching. This was a man who taught differently from anybody else that they'd ever met. And then secondly, they were amazed because of his healing, the authority that he showed over the demon. His ability to heal the demon-possessed man. There really is something very, very different about Jesus. Something very different about this man. Something which causes these people who had been to that synagogue on numerous occasions beforehand suddenly to sit up and take notice and say, okay, what is this that's happening here? Who is this person? Never heard anybody talk like this before. Never seen anybody do anything like this before. And it's that reaction which gets to the heart of the little story in Simon's house. Because the story of what happens in Simon's house is not about Simon. It's not about his mother-in-law. It's not even about illness. Though we'll probably talk about all of those three in a moment. Most importantly, this is a story about Jesus himself. And it tells us some very, very important things about who he is. And it's most striking because this is such an ordinary event. Simon brings home a friend for dinner after the synagogue service. I've come here expecting to be taken home for dinner after this service. I may, of course, be disappointed, but I'm sure I won't be. It's normal. It's the sort of thing we do, isn't it? This may have been first century Palestine, but it's not that much different from 21st century Scotland. You bring someone home for a meal after the service. And notice that Simon is not yet a disciple. He's not yet a follower of Jesus. That doesn't actually occur until chapter 5. It occurs after this event in Luke's story. But what he does do is he welcomes Jesus into his home. Nothing unusual. His mother-in-law happens to be ill. Well, that's not particularly unusual either. Most of us have known occasions where we've not been particularly well. It's life. You see, the difference is not in the setting. The difference is not in where this is taking place. This is just something so ordinary, so common. The difference is to be found, quite simply, in who has been invited back to that house. The difference is found in the person of Jesus himself. And it is Jesus that is going to make a difference. It is his presence which is going to set this particular Saturday apart from every other Saturday that Simon and his mother-in-law had ever lived through. It's Jesus. And that difference is shown most clearly as a result of a request. His mother-in-law is ill. Simon's mother-in-law. And the people in the house, simply as we read there, ask Jesus if he can help. Notice they don't say, can you heal her? And they don't say, could you just sort out food for us, just, you know, pray and it'll all be sorted. They just say, can you help? What does that request show? Firstly, it does show that the family had recognized that there was something slightly different about Jesus. They had heard his speaking. They had seen his healing of the demon-possessed man. Perhaps they were part of the people who were amazed at the authority that he showed in both of those instances, and so they recognize there's something different about this person, but they haven't quite got a clear idea of what that difference is. But there is something that is different about him. And secondly, I think they probably realise that Jesus is able to act decisively. He had already shown that a little bit earlier in the day. In other words, what this family exercises is what we call faith. Yes, it may just be faith in a very small measure. Can you help? But it is faith nonetheless. It's faith that's not based in a full and complete understanding of Jesus and who he is. It is faith simply based upon the little bit of knowledge that they have. And that is vital for us. We don't need to know everything that there could be to know about Jesus before we can exercise faith in him. If we had to wait until we knew everything, we would wait a very, very long time. But whether we have come to know Jesus as our own Lord and Saviour or not, we need to act on what we know about who he is. To exercise the small amount of faith that we can have. There is another lovely story in the Gospels where a man says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That sums up an awful lot of my life. Lord, I know you can do some things, but I'm not quite sure what you're going to do now or how you're going to do this now, but you know, you're just going to have to help me in that. They exercise faith. And that is what Jesus responds to. It's a request which has lying behind it some recognition of who he is, that he is different from the other people around, that he must be capable of doing something because they'd seen that. But it's only some recognition. But that statement, that request, Lord, can you help, leads us on to the next part. Because the healing is not about Simon. The healing is not about his family. It's not even about his mother-in-law in that instance. The healing is, in fact, about Jesus. It's something very important being shown about who he is. He responds to a request. But notice a couple of things about this. Firstly, the request is not responded to because of the piety of the people who bring the request. In other words, it's not because they are very, very faithful attenders at the synagogue. It's not because they have spent 433 hours in prayer. This is a request that is based upon simple, straightforward faith. Basic. Very basic faith. And I'm not saying by that that it's not a good thing to spend time in prayer or to attend services at the church and to be with God's people, but that's not what Jesus responds to here. And if we think that because we spend time in prayer or because we do this or because we do that, God is going to have to respond, then we're falling into the trap of thinking that God can be manipulated, and God cannot be. But God does respond to the simple faith of his people. When in whatever circumstance we're in, we simply turn to him and say, "Can you help?" That's what God responds to. That's what Jesus responds to here. And the response, the healing, is a sign. It's a sign of something earth-shattering that is happening with Jesus. Something which is going to turn everything upside down, inside out, is happening in this small village in Capernaum on that day. Because what's happening is that Jesus responds to the request for help and he heals Simon's mother-in-law, and it's a statement about the arrival of the new age. This is, as we say, an eschatological statement. This is about the fact that the aim of the whole of the universe, the whole of the creation, is about to be seen. This is what everything has been leading up to. It's a statement about the fact that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the chosen one of God. The new age has now arrived. Earth-shattering news. It may not have escaped your attention that we have another referendum coming up. You wait for decades for a referendum, and then two suddenly come along, one after the other. And we're being told on the news the whole time, television, radio, newspapers, wherever it may be, that this is a once-in-a-lifetime decision, that this is important, this is about the whole future. You have an opportunity to be able to change the direction of where we are as a country. But in comparison with this story in a small little village in Palestine nearly 2,000 years ago, this referendum is small fare. It's peanuts. Because what's happening in this is that Jesus is displaying, by his teaching and his actions, by the act of healing Simon's mother-in-law, the healing of others, the releasing of those who are demon-possessed, he is showing in these actions that the new age of God's rule has actually started. Eternity has broken in to time. It's a sign that the whole purpose of the universe has come about. It's a sign that why you and I are here has arrived. To be part of God's rule. To know something of his shalom, his peace, his wholeness. To show that this is indeed the one who Isaiah wrote about centuries beforehand when he said that this one, the chosen servant of the Lord, would come, and when he came, he would take up our infirmities and carry our sorrows. Luke is showing by this little story that Jesus is the one the world has been waiting for. Or if we go back to chapter 2 of Luke's gospel, we go back to Jesus' manifesto, again from Isaiah, And there we read that Jesus was going to come, the Messiah would come, the servant of the Lord would come and bring recovery of sight to the blind and set the oppressed free. Set the oppressed, even those who are ill. Set the oppressed free. And that's what is happening in this little story. This is just Jesus saying, I am the one you have been waiting for. And one of the things I love about this story is that, like so much of what Jesus does, this is not huge, this is not big, this isn't with a huge fanfare. He hasn't brought in all of the television cameras. He's simply doing this in the house of a family. A handful of people around to see the breaking in of the new age. A handful of people who see the reality that this is the chosen one of God. When he's in the desert being tempted by the devil, one of the things that the devil basically offers him is this dramatic display of his power, and then everybody will worship you. And Jesus rejects that. He says, no, that's not the way that things are going to happen. I'm not going to make a dramatic statement. I'm going to heal a woman whose name we don't even know, because I have come to bring recovery of sight to the blind and set the oppressed free, to carry our sorrows and take up our infirmities. And then we think, well, what does Simon's mother-in-law do when she's healed? What is her response? And it's this response, her response, where we find ourselves being brought into the story. Because I think what Luke is wanting us to do is to see ourselves as part of this story, but to see ourselves in her position. Her response is actually a fundamental and an important part of the story as a whole. What does she do? She responds in service. Now, the word that Luke uses for the illness that she's got is for a high fever. And if you and I have ever, you know, we've had high fevers in the past. And even when we start to get better, we're not actually particularly good immediately at standing up and saying, that's okay, I'll do everything. Even as we start to get better, we want other people to do things for us. Simon's mother-in-law is healed, and healed to such an extent that she is able to get up and do things for people. And why is that important? Because her response to the grace of God in acting in bringing her healing is service. It's to turn around and say, well, if I have been freed from this, then the only thing that I can do in response to that is to serve the one who has done this for me. That's why her response is so important. Responding to God's grace in service. And that surely must be the only response that any of us can have to the grace of God as it is worked out in our lives. Are you sitting here this afternoon a recipient of the grace of God? Has God done something in your life? And if you've come to know Christ as Lord and Saviour, he has done something much greater than he does for this Simon's mother-in-law. She will have fallen ill at some time or other later. But if we've come to know forgiveness of sin through Jesus. That's it. That's sin done with. That's sin finished with. That's sin completed. That is sin nailed to the cross, never ever to be brought to our charge again. And what is the only response that you and I can have in that circumstance? It is to serve the one who has saved us. Without this response, without this act of service, you know, one of the questions that we really have to ask, I think, is whether our faith is real. Because service is one of the ways, if not the way, in which we respond to being part of God's plan for this world. Jesus shows in Capernaum that eternity has broken into time, that the whole purpose of the universe is now coming to be seen. And you and I, as God's people, have been given the inestimable privilege of being part of that. To act in our own small way within that overarching story, so that in our homes, in our families, in our lives, in our workplaces, we show something of the reality of the coming of Jesus in the way that the reality of his coming was seen in that home in Capernaum. Our role is, in some small way, to bring in the rule of God through us for eternity to continue to break into time. To do that here. And to do that now.